We would never advise stand alone, just be on TV and wait for the call to, or the phone to ring. We would advise it as part of a holistic marketing strategy that has other elements or platforms designed to capture those clients as they're coming to find the law firm.
But because of that brand recognition, you can safely assume that their conversion rate when somebody finds them is higher, meaning per 100 people that visit who visit their website, they're going to have higher conversion, higher number of leads.
You're listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast, where each guest shares actionable, practical ideas with you on how to get more clients, expand your reach, and grow your law firm's revenue and profit. Here's your host, Sasha Burson.
Hi there. I have a small but really meaningful favor to ask you. You know, I watch At The Stats on our YouTube channel and Spotify channel, wherever people, most people listen and watch our podcast. And I see that over 80% of everybody who listens to it regularly is not a subscriber. I'm asking you to subscribe to this channel. And the reason for that is my mission and the mission of my team is to help as many small law firm owners to learn how to transform their law firms into better businesses, and so they in turn enjoy better lives. When you hit subscribe button, you tell these platforms that this is content worth listening, worth viewing, and they in turn will show it to many other small law firm owners and hopefully help me fulfill our mission of helping them create a better business and enjoy better lives. So would you please do me this favor? It would mean the world to me. And hit the subscribe button. And my promise to you is that I will continue to work hard at creating good content with practical ideas that help you and your teams grow better law firms. Thank you. Welcome to another episode of Grow Law Firm Podcast. I have an amazing, a very different type of guest with me here today. Number one, Kyle Haben Street is focused on what I call broadcast media, although I'm broadly grouping a lot of things into that under that one umbrella. Second, Kyle is a very interesting guy because he actually acquired this company with the financial backing of a fund from John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan, which is an unusual story, and I definitely want to hear that one. And Kyle only works or primarily works with PI law firms. So if you do not run PI law firm, you may actually not be that interested in what we're about to talk about. But if you do run a PI law firm, you better tune in and listen to this guy because he knows a lot about how to make a lot of money in the PI business. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Sasha. Happy to be here.
So what's the story with buying Practice Made Perfect from John Morgan?
Sure, absolutely. So Practice Made Perfect, or we call it PMP for short, has been in business for over 15 years, and it was started by John Morgan. It was started as, frankly, like a referral network of personal injury lawyers from across the country who wanted to refer each other cases, and the promise was learn about the Morgan model, how to grow your law firm operationally, but also from a marketing standpoint. And it evolved over the years. It started about 2000. By about 2007, PMP had morphed into an advertising agency for personal injury law firms. And then it grew through the late aughts and through the teens, representing clients across the country for their marketing services, including advertising services, so broadcast TV, even broadcast radio, as well as streaming, paid social media, paid search, et cetera, the full spectrum of advertising channels that local marketers like personal injury law firms would want to take advantage of to grow their business. Also, website services, building and managing websites for those clients as well. Around 2020, Morgan & Morgan as a law firm was growing nationally and moving into markets where PMP's clients were doing business. That created some friction with some clients. At the same time, John's partner, who was managing the day-to-day operations of the firm, was looking for an off-ramp to retirement. So I came upon PMP in partnership with the investment fund that you referenced earlier, looking for a great company in a great industry that could use some operational expertise, additional investment, and a vision for growth into the future, and thought PMP would be a great match. And so I came on board in early 2022, partnering with John and Casey for a short period of time through the transaction, and then have taken over as the CEO of the company and am positioning it for growth in the space of personal injury law, but also advertising and doing what we can to future-proof it, if you will, in two very quickly changing landscapes.
Curious, how did you come across this opportunity to buy this specific business? And were you looking for a company to acquire in this specific space?
Sure. So the investment fund that we've referred to is called Next Gen Growth Partners, and they've got a unique model where they acquire small to medium-sized businesses from business owners who are looking to retire and may not have a succession plan in place. The fund offers a liquidity event, paying them for the value of their business at market rate, but then a succession plan in the form of an operator like myself to step into the business and transition out the former operator over a period of time and take it through its next phase of growth. The idea being there are a lot of business owners out there who have great businesses and great teams. They care about the legacy of the business. They want somebody who has a vision to grow it and see the legacy flourish into the future. And so I came across PMP because I'd been looking for outsourced legal services firms. My parents are lawyers. My dad's an attorney. My mom's a judge. My sister's a former prosecutor. I came from a world of attorneys and felt like I understood the client base. I felt like my background, which we can get into in a second, of management consulting and MBA, operational focus would benefit the law firm clientele who, you know, are busy focused on the practice of law and not necessarily focused on running a business in some cases. And I think that there's a large value when you find the right partner, outsourced partner for a law firm and a law firm that needs it. There's a lot of opportunity there. So I'd been looking in this space and found PMP because Casey and John were looking to sell the business. And in some instances, you make a relationship directly with the business owner. In other instances, there's a broker or investment banker or intermediary. In this particular case, there was a broker. And so we went through a process of acquisition.
Were you looking specifically for an outsourced advertising company for law firms or any type of outsourced service for law firms? And you just happened to come across this specific opportunity?
There's a wide net. So looking at e-discovery and a couple of other different areas, record retrieval, things of that nature. I really like advertising. Part of my background, I'll just give a brief little bit of my background. I worked in film and entertainment in the early part of my career in creative development, and then went to business school to pursue something more entrepreneurial. And then I worked in management consulting with Deloitte Consulting. And I did a lot of media work advising Fortune 500 companies, particularly on their advertising strategies. And so, and particularly, how do you use audience and consumer data to inform smart advertising strategies for large companies? So I'd occupied the space, and I thought there was a tremendous amount of opportunity, and have dealt with, you know, this transition of how do you go from, like, quote, legacy media to, quote, digital media? What are the trade-offs and how do you manage an evolving environment like that? And so I had been looking in outsourced marketing in addition to other outsourced business services for law firms. A couple of advisors and mentors of mine are plaintiffs firms. And so during the process, I was able to discuss the opportunity of PMP and the market and what the potential could be for PMP, its clients, and potentially new clients with folks who are really well acquainted with the personal injury space, and just grew more and more interested in PMP as an opportunity to join a great team and to grow a great business.
Interesting. So you now have owned it along with your investors for a little over 2 years. I assume the play was to grow the business.
That's correct.
How has it been going?
It's been great, honestly. So we, part of the thesis is that perhaps when a business owner has a great business and they're approaching retirement, maybe they're not investing in a new website or a CRM or certain operational elements to the business that can professionalize the infrastructure so that it can sustain long-term growth. So part of my focus and my partner's focus has been, in the first couple of years, it's really about, yes, we want to grow the business, but it's really much more about investing in the business. So it's team members, growing our team, restructuring the team, defining roles and responsibilities, implementing new communication channels, not just email, but project management tools and other digital communication tools, paying for research, doing market research studies to understand our market so we can create better informed marketing strategies, things of that nature. So it's really, my focus has been, yes, certainly want to grow the business, that's great. But growth without a foundation to successfully carry that growth is going to become a house of cards. So I've heavily prioritized how do we invest in the business to make a really strong product and service for our clients on the advertising side, as well as the website services side. And then how do we go to market with that in a successful way to grow the business? So it's been a blast. I mean, we've got really, really fun and really capable and really interesting clients. And having conversations with new clients and going to conferences and understanding sort of their pain points and how we might be able to solve them has been incredibly interesting. We've been investing a lot in our sales and marketing function only in the last couple of months, and that's where my mind has been focused. So now that we've got this great platform and a great client base, a lot of unique market knowledge and expertise, how do we then take it to market and serve more people across the country? And frankly, even Canada, we've got clients in Canada. So across the continent, I guess.
That's awesome. So let's shift gears. Now we talked about your business. Let's talk about your market. Mm-hmm. What is it specifically that you do for most of your clients? And I understand that your clients probably tend to be on medium size and larger because doing broadcast media requires quite substantial investment.
Yep. So we really think about our clients and any potential client or law firm in sort of three categories. We have a sort of plant metaphor, but there's sprout, grow, and harvest. Sprout is a law firm that's maybe just, you know, a lawyer or two have broken off from larger firms who are just starting out, solo practitioner, those things, that type of model, a handful of folks who have limited resources, but perhaps want to grow. What do you do for a client in that phase of their growth trajectory? It's going to look a lot more like a website, maybe some SEO services, maybe LSAs or other paid search. You're going to craft a different solution for a firm in that category whose marketing budget can be, you know, from a website side as low as $10,000 a year, but more realistically in the sort of $100,000, $150,000 a year sort of marketing budget range. That's one approach and one strategy you want to employ for that type of client. Then there's the grow stage. These are clients who are have already dedicated resources to growing their law firm. They want to take on more. They're reinvesting earnings from the prior year in a deliberate way for the upcoming year's marketing strategy. And so that's a different category. They may not have the budget capacity to be in all of the different media channels to compete with the larger firms in the market. They just want to slowly sort of gain share so that over time they build the brand credibility and the operational excellence to really compete at a high level in their market. So that's the growth phase. And that's going to be sort of typically, it's easier to use numbers, although there's a lot of it depends associated with it. That's going to be in your, you know, sort of 150 to call it $600,000 a year marketing budget. Now, when you get into the harvest phase, these are typically firms that are larger. They've got, you know, 5+ attorneys. They've been around for many years. They've been investing in their marketing for, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. They're typically a known brand in their local market. They're pretty savvy because they have the experience of focusing on marketing. And typically because of the size and infrastructure they have more mind share managing partners, or perhaps they've got a head of marketing or marketing resources internally. They've got more capacity to think more specifically about what they should be doing for their marketing. And that's going to look a lot different. That's going to be, you know, broadcast TV. That's going to be broadcast radio, connected TV, streaming, billboards, paid social media, paid search. We're going to be designing marketing strategies across platforms in their local market to optimize reach in a cost-efficient way, so they're getting a really strong brand awareness push, as well as conversion and consideration. So as people are needing an attorney, they're top of mind from the brand awareness, and those individuals go to search and they show up in either the paid portion of search, maps, organic listings, etc. So we try to control the client journey as much as possible to their advantage. So how we treat each one of those segments of our client base is going to be a little bit different.
Interesting. So in the world of so many things digital, folks who may be listening and have not seriously considered doing TV advertising, or radio advertising or billboards, but do see their major competitors do that. Like I'm in Chicago, as you know, Lerner and Rowe, all over town for the last year and a half. I mean, they're spending a ton of money in Chicago. Just almost any part of the city and suburbs, they're there. Bus stops, bus wraps, billboards. Sometimes you drive on a major highway here, and it's like three billboards in a row. Big time spenders. For people who are having a hard time wrapping their minds, like why do this type of advertising? Can you explain like how your customers think about it and how they figure that this produces a substantial return on investment?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that we think about it is these are really cost-efficient, high-reach marketing vehicles. So a CPM is kind of a unit of expense in advertising. The CPMs for billboards and for bus ads, or billboard or broadcast TV or radio, more affordable relative to the amount of people you can potentially reach. So you can reach.
I want to pause for a second. Explain
Yes.
to the audience what CPM is, because unless you're a marketer, you don't know what that means.
Yes. Yes. So CPM is cost per mil, and mil is Latin for thousand. So what it means is cost per thousand eyeballs. And it's a common unit of measurement in advertising because you're paying for exposure. You want your message to be exposed to a certain number of people. Thousand is a good denominator to capture how many people are actually exposed to your advertisement. So you're paying for a unit of a thousand people who are going to be exposed to your ad. So it's kind of like a price point in advertising lingo. And so was that a, I get caught up in my own day-to-day. Was that a reasonable explanation, Sasha?
That was a very reasonable explanation. And by the way, the CPM goes back decades and decades and decades. This is definitely not a new term, and marketers and advertisers know it well, but a law firm owner may be like, what? CPM?
Yeah, no, I that's totally fair. And I always want to check our three-letter acronyms. So anyhow, we find that those media platforms, broadcasts, billboards, bus ads, what you're referring to, are really effective ways of reaching a wide audience cost effectively. And why that matters for personal injury or legal marketers in general is because unlike other types of marketing, like in retail, where you can look at consumer segments and signals and understand someone's likelihood to intend to take an action. By definition, a car accident or related injury is an anomalous, unpredictable event. What you can control is that when that event occurs, that person is going to take action, either contacting a friend or colleague, police officers, doctors, or maybe going to Google, reading some blogs, searching for an attorney. What we know is that people are likely to take an action to hire an attorney that they've heard of previously, whether it's calling the number directly off the billboard, or I was just looking at this research study earlier, e-consultancy. Their statistic is 82% of people are likely to click on a link of a name brand they recognize versus one they're not. And there's just a level of familiarity and comfort there that causes people to take an action to move one direction towards hopefully our clients as opposed to a different action. So we view those media platforms not as just standalone. We would never advise standalone, just be on TV and wait for the call to or the phone to ring. We would advise it as part of a holistic marketing strategy that has other elements or platforms designed to capture those clients as they're coming to find the law firm and seek services.
Yeah. So
Oh,
let me
can I
let
just can I
go
add
ahead, please. Yeah.
one more thing on that because I think it's a good question that's commonly misunderstood. The reality too in this day and age is it is it's a cost efficient way to reach a lot of people, but it is still a costly way to market. In order to have an effective reach on broadcast TV, you're going to need, a depending on market, probably a high, medium to high six-figure budget. And so that's sort of like a cost to play, so to speak. It just so happens that a sufficient number of law firms have marketing budget capacity that allows for that type of marketing spend, plus investment in other marketing platforms like paid search, SEO, website, et cetera. So I think it's cost prohibitive for a lot of firms to focus on broadcast TV as an example, or billboards. Billboards, you can have a handful of highly targeted billboards, but broadcast TV in particular and cable TV, they can be cost prohibitive for a lot of firms. So you only see a select number of firms who are really sort of participating in that category for that reason.
So I love this explanation. And I'm going to expand and simplify it a little bit because you have an MBA and you come from the world of management consulting. So some folks might have been like, I don't understand like everything that Kyle just said.
Okay.
So think about it this way. Well over 70% of people, when they need an attorney, they're consumers, not business people, they're consumers. At one point or another, they will be searching online. They may have asked for a reference from a friend, a family member, or a colleague, but at some point they're going to go online and they will search. What's going to happen is that if you are running a lot of brand promotion through broadcast media, when they see you, they're going to recognize you from those bus stop ads, bus wraps, billboards, TV advertising. And as the saying goes, familiarity breeds trust. Oh, it's that guy. Oh, it's that lady. In PI space, it's going to be mostly that guy who I saw 1,000 times. I live in a fairly affluent area of Chicago, Highland Park. Beautiful suburb. There's a bus stop no more than 3 blocks away from me by a metro station. I see Glenn Lerner and his partner, I forget his first name, Ro. Almost every day. There are buses going in and out, and we don't have a lot of buses here. There's just like one bus stop. I see their faces all the time. It is that brand recognition that, God forbid, if I ever need a PI attorney, if I didn't know, and I know a lot of PI attorneys, but if I didn't know a PI attorney, and I would search, I would see that yellow background and a guy standing like this. I'm like, oh, it's the guy from the bus.
Yes.
What that's going to do for Lerner and Bro, and I met Glenn, great guy. They have sizable 8-figure marketing and advertising spend on an annual basis in just a few key markets, not nationwide, few very focused markets. What that does for Lerner and Bro, it lowers their cost per lead. They're spending money on advertising and an SEO on Google, but because of that brand recognition, you can safely assume that their conversion rate when somebody finds them is higher, meaning per 100 people that visit who visit their website, they're going to have higher conversion, higher number of leads than somebody who does not have brand recognition. Because of that, even if their conversion rate off of those leads the same as yours, but they will get more leads because of that brand recognition, their case acquisition cost is going to be lower. They will be getting business cheaper than you do because they have that brand recognition. It seems counterintuitive because they're spending tens of millions of dollars on advertising. But at the end of the day, their case acquisition cost is lower than yours. That's how it works.
That's exactly right. You get economies of scale, to use management consulting lingo, by being that large. And as you know, a branded search term cost per click is going to be significantly cheaper than cost per click on a search term like car accident attorney Chicago. And so not only are you getting a higher volume of people finding your organic listings, they might also be clicking on paid listings as well, as opposed to spending a lot of money on unbranded search terms. You're getting the benefit of lower cost per click search terms, even from a paid search standpoint. So you're 100% correct in your assessment of the benefits of brand advertising.
To add to that, I have my 3 golden rules of effective marketing and advertising. Be where and when they're looking for you or for someone like you. Give them exactly what they're looking for. And when you reach that size and budget, be the one they think of when they need someone in your category. If you can do all 3, your business is going to flourish. Mm-hmm. It's just a given. But as another gentleman who was on this podcast a couple of times now said, he said, usually for smaller law firms under $3 million, you just do not, in gross revenue, you just do not have that scale
mm-hmm.
to effectively invest in brand marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
So to a certain degree, I would. It depends on how small of a law firm we're talking about. There might be higher and better uses of investments in your business other than marketing. So there's a point at which it breaks. We think about things in terms of, you know, as I referenced earlier, sprout, grow, and harvest. Sprout, you're going to want a website so that when people find you online and validate their decision to hire you, you look professional and some trustworthy and someone that they would want to work with on their sensitive matter. You could expand up from there in cost-efficient ways. There's certain search products like local services ads that are cost-efficient ways of getting additional leads to augment your case count. When you start getting into brand awareness efforts, the first place that we encourage folks to start who may be with a limited budget would be paid social media, and specifically Facebook. You can be very targeted on a geography. You can make a small budget go far if you think about certain zip codes in your geographic area that you're focused on, maybe where your cases are coming from, where you believe there's a higher propensity or a higher volume of people who have a propensity to hire your firm live. So you can carve out really specific ways of reaching an audience with a brand message via paid social media. In addition to that, you can focus on YouTube as another area of getting a video message out. That's another fairly cost-effective way where you can take a contained and conservative budget and make it work for you from a brand standpoint. Moving up from there, you start seeing billboards and radio ads as pretty good platforms. That's probably going to be out of reach for a law firm that has $3 million in annual revenue. But you can be very selective with certain placements to make it work on your behalf. So what we encourage people as they're moving up the growth curve from sprout to grow to harvest is they over time are adding additional platforms and additional strategies on top of their marketing strategy. So they grow into that harvest stage, the area where you start getting economies of scale and your cost per case is being reduced. There are steps to get there. And those are typically the ones we advise, starting with some digital channels and a conservative but targeted approach.
So let's imagine a hypothetical scenario where someone is looking to get a breakthrough in their mid-sized market. When I say mid-sized market, we're not talking about Chicago or Miami mm-hmm. or LA or New York City. We're talking about a town of 500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say is a good entry point budget for actually developing a brand recognition for a PI law firm over a year or two? Because this is not going to happen overnight. One of the things that we should have mentioned is that brand awareness takes some time to develop. So you're in it for the long haul or don't even go there. Am I right in this?
I would, yes. So definitely write about you want to be consistent. That's where people often make a mistake. They do one-off campaigns, hoping mm-hmm. it's going to work for them. What we find is there's certainly an element of you're building brand equity so that over time people value and understand your brand. But also what's really critical we found is brand recency, because we've also seen certain clients pause, say, a broadcast campaign for a period of time. And you can actually start to see their case volumes over the subsequent months start to go down. Particularly because it is a highly competitive environment, when your brand likeness is not visible and taking the share of voice, as they call it, someone else is going to occupy that in your potential client's mind, and that person is going to hire another firm. So we think about brand equity over time, but we also think of recency as being important. So always on is kind of the strategy that we advise our clients. You need to be ubiquitous and consistent over time. And so you're 100% right. You need to have a long-term view and be very disciplined. If you're looking for quick hits and quick wins, you're likely to end up being disappointed with the general outcome. Now, with respect to your question about if you're in, call it like a Des Moines, Iowa as an example, like a mid-sized American market, medium market? What's a good starting point budget? Probably 120 to 150, 120,000, 150,000 a year is, you know, and I included in that is whatever you're spending on your website as well. We would say, you know, that's probably a good starting point. When you start going beyond that, you're fragmenting sort of your marketing investment in a way that's probably going to dilute its efficacy. And so we would want to be hesitant in going too much lower than that, for what we do, at least, just because, you know, it is expensive to compete in the personal injury market. So that's just me sort of, I've not been posed that question specifically, but that's me just quick reaction of the marketing budget you'd want to have if you want to start actually, with a meaningful marketing investment strategy.
So a couple of points on what you just said. First of all, brilliant point about recency, mm-hmm. and it can be illustrated because for some people this may be like if I'm running this for 3 years, wouldn't this be top of mind? Mm-hmm. Coca-Cola runs advertising.
Yes.
Everybody knows what Coca-Cola is, yet they spend something like $80 million a year on advertising. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they know that the moment they stop, Pepsi is going to start eating away at their market share. Mm-hmm. For the very same reason, McDonald's, everybody knows McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Advertises because they know the moment they stop, Burger King starts taking their market share. It's exact mm-hmm. same thing in mid-sized town, Des Moines, Iowa, where if you've been advertising for a year and you say, I haven't been getting many cases, but our spend has been considerable. The moment you stop, well, maybe not the moment, but within a few months of you stopping, that investment that you have made over the previous year, it's going to start having a diminishing return. Mm-hmm. So that consistency, that planning, making sure that you have that budget that's going to last until you start actually getting that lift in case volume, it is very, very important. And I had a question about that budget of 120 to 150. Mm-hmm. What would that money, in practical terms, what would that buy you in a town like Des Moines, Iowa?
Yeah. So we're probably looking at, and I'm just riffing right now, but you're looking at probably, call it $5,000 in LSAs. You're looking at, call it $40,000 or $50,000 in pay-per-click on motor vehicle accident terms. So call that $55,000. You're looking at a website that's going to be probably, you know, a couple grand a month. So that's probably going to take you to closer to $80,000 or $90,000. And then you've got, call it $40,000 or $50,000 to deploy on Facebook ads, and what we would say is probably YouTube pre-roll ads. And you can get a meaningful reach and frequency on Facebook and YouTube if you're focused on certain segments and particularly certain zip codes and geographies with a really consistent and effective message. That's probably going to be the threshold of scale that you need in terms of financial impact to really make a dent. We worry with budgets that are too small that you might be influencing some people, but to really drive the awareness and drive attention and behavior, there is a certain scale that you need to get to make it even baseline effective. So
but
again,
what about
that's
the broadcast aspect of it, because what you just mentioned, it's like 80% search.
Yes.
What about broadcast? What about billboards? What about the other things that we talked about earlier? What do you need to invest?
I would that when you're talking about billboards, it's difficult to create a rule of thumb, but I'm thinking probably $200,000 to $250,000 a year in marketing investment because
one market like Des Moines, Iowa.
In one market like Des Moines, Iowa.
20K a month, give or take.
Yes, correct.
Got it.
Okay. And so you're gonna have some bulletins, some big billboards, you're going to have some posters, some smaller billboards. We might also recommend, depending on budget capacity, a selected radio program that's popular in your specific market. What we really like to see is the synergy of audio in car with visual on billboard. So people who are commuting are getting multiple touch points across different formats. And that's a really effective way of delivering a message. And terrestrial radio is still like very popular. We see that as a beneficial and cost-effective way of deploying that type of marketing investment. So I'd probably say, yeah, that's a reasonable annual marketing budget to start doing real brand awareness marketing in a market like Des Moines or a sort of mid-sized US market.
So $20K a month gets you quite a few billboards,
mm-hmm.
smaller posters, and some radio advertising, or would you be adding additional funds for radio advertising?
All of that is on top of what I wouldn't recommend doing a lot of, you know, billboard sure. or radio advertising if you don't have a really tight yep. digital presence for the reasons you mentioned earlier about yep. 70% of people. You could do a mix of radio and billboards. It depends on how selective you are with the radio channel and how selective you are with the billboard placements. So I think that that's a not unrealistic marketing budget to stand behind.
Yeah, very interesting. So thinking about a typical case, right? Smaller cases in the PI space could be $15,000 to the firm.
Mm-hmm.
Your gross profit margin is maybe 50% on those cases. If you operate incredibly efficiently, it's going to be closer to like 37-38%.
Mm-hmm.
So by acquiring 3 cases a month, you're paying for that advertising.
Yes.
That's about it. So your break-even point is going to be somewhere there, 3-4 mm-hmm. cases maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That pays for it. And anything on top of that goes toward your bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's really interesting.
As I was mentioning to you previously, Sasha, that's also, you know, that's the $15,000 is sort of the average for a typical motor vehicle accident case.
Yeah.
People always want the big cases. Our clients always want the big cases. Unfortunately, you can't target advertising in a precise enough way to get just big cases. What we do know is if you're in market doing the things that we're talking about, you're going to get $15,000 motor vehicle accident cases, but you're also over time going to end up getting high settlement, 6-figure, 7-figure, catastrophic injury, those types of cases as well. In those cases that you would not otherwise be getting if you weren't actively marketing. You want to make sure that, to your point, you're hitting your break-even threshold as a business, but also find that place where you're effectively in the game to potentially take on higher value cases.
Yeah, it's really interesting how things start working in your favor once you have that brand awareness. So mm-hmm. we have a client whose name I will not mention because I do not want people studying exactly what he does yep. and copying it, but sizable PI firm never takes a case with value less than $750,000 to the firm,
mm-hmm.
has billboards, ton of billboards, not done by us because that is not what we do. Mm-hmm. A ton of billboards in a very specific corridor where those high value cases happen. And we know the data. Mm-hmm. 1 out of 400 cases, 1 out of 400 accidents results in a severe injury or wrongful death.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine with getting one of those 400 cases.
Mm-hmm.
They, all the smaller cases that come to them, they refer them out, collect yeah. some revenue on those cases that settle. Mm-hmm. And that more than pays for all of their marketing and advertising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really works.
That resembles a handful of our clients as well. And that's incumbent upon the firm to have a really effective referral network and be very operationally effective in managing intakes and how to handle those cases to ensure that those that are referring out are going to be compensable for the firm, and to have an effective litigation team who has the wherewithal, the experience to manage a complex wrongful death or catastrophic injury case to ensure that you're doing right by your client and marching towards that high value settlement, which many of them do. But, you know, it's also part of the equation here is to have the internal operations to manage the inbound client volume that you're going to be seeing if you are investing significantly in advertising like the way we're talking about.
Yeah. So let's summarize the roadmap. Mm-hmm. You got to take care of your search.
Mm-hmm.
Your search has to work well
mm-hmm.
for you to get a very significant ROI on your broadcast media.
Mm-hmm.
Search, and I know this and I say this without any qualms about it, search marketing has its limitation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very natural ceiling to mm-hmm. how many searches happen in any given market on mm-hmm. a monthly basis. Chicago, where I am, being one of the largest markets, there are something like 22,000 searches for PI attorneys on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. That's your ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a natural ceiling to every market. With great brand awareness, like Lerner and Rowe is developing in Chicago and has been developing in Chicago for the last year and a half or so, they're going to get a lot more leads on their search investment. So if you are looking to not just grow to $3-5 million, but actually scale up, you're going to need to get your search in order, search marketing in order, and then, or in parallel to that, start doing your brand advertising, billboards, mm-hmm. radio, perhaps some TV, bus stops, bus wraps, etc. And in time, not right away, but in time, it's going to start producing very significant dividends as long as you're consistent. Oh, it's actually consistency is the key here. That's the primary thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that that's a really smart way of looking at it. And I also, it's top of mind for me because we've just concluded this market research project about the consumer journey, if you will, of someone post motor vehicle accident, but pre hiring an attorney. One thing that was astonishing when you ask people, the general population, their likelihood to contact an attorney within 2 weeks of a car accident in which they've sustained a neck injury, only 45% of people would say they would contact an attorney. 55% would say some combination of they would not contact an attorney or they're not sure. When you're talking about brand marketing and awareness marketing, you're also educating a population potentially if you're doing a good job executing the message, and you're potentially growing the pie so that if you're having a number of marketing law firms in your local market developing effective messaging, that ceiling of search volume actually is going to increase over time, because a lot of people don't know that they're entitled to compensation. Their first path is to the insurance company that's going to do everything they can to keep them from contacting an attorney. So if you've got really effective brand marketing as a law firm, you can hopefully increase or grow the pie, in addition to hopefully capture a healthy share of those who have the intention of hiring a law firm. So an additional just concept to add on to what you shared, but I completely agree with what you said.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Do not expect consumer to know what's the right thing to do.
No.
Most of us don't.
No.
That's the simple truth. If someone listening to this podcast, watching this, they want to reach out and connect with one of your consultants and talk about how your advertising, the things that you do for your clients, can help them scale up their PI law firm, how would they connect?
Absolutely. You can reach out to me directly. My name is Kyle Hebenstreet. My email address is kyle@pmpmg.com. So PMP Marketing Group is the longer version of it. But please feel free to reach out. I love having these conversations. I love talking to lawyers, love talking to them about their law firms. And if there's ever an opportunity where we can help, I would love to explore that as well. But I appreciate you having me on, Sasha. This is a fun conversation. I enjoy talking about these things.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for being here. And I want to add one more thing.
Sure.
As you're listening to this podcast, or you're watching this, you may think, well, I don't have the money to invest into this now. PMP has been around for, I believe, 21 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's going to be around for many, many more years to come. As you're wrapping your mind around the idea of brand marketing, and I know quite a few PI law firm owners who have scaled beyond eight figures, 10 million plus, and they definitely use brand advertising or broadcast advertising in very effective ways, you may be a year or two or 3 years out from actually having the budget for it. Reach out to Kyle now. Have the conversation so you understand what the blueprint for doing this actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier you get this conversation started, the sooner you're probably going to be able to execute on it. It's really important to plan ahead.
Absolutely. I agree. our largest clients started small. They did it a long time ago, and they just put a plan in place for themselves and stuck with it. And we've helped them along the way, and they've had a lot of great success. So would love to have a conversation regardless of the stage of maturity you're in with respect to your law firm growth or marketing.
Perfect. Kyle, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast. If you liked the ideas shared in this episode, help a fellow lawyer out by sharing a link to the episode. This episode is powered by the team of experts in client attraction, growlawfirm.com. Do you want a complimentary growth plan for your law firm? Request it at growlawfirm.com/blueprint.